Well, this evening I've just given it the title, Little Things Matter. So it's not a big sermon. It's three little sermons on three little things. And nothing big we'll think about this evening, but the little things. And the first one, as Eliot read that parable for us, is a little seed. A little seed. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is like a seed. Like the tiniest of seeds. A mustard seed. Inconspicuous, inconsequential, easily overlooked, but it will grow. It'll grow to be the largest of all garden plants. And it'll be, you know, a sort of small tree, in that sense, that the birds might come and nest and feed in it. And that's what we're going to think about firstly this evening, the little seed. These little things matter. What will 2025 bring? Well, here we have this parable, in some ways a prophecy too, that the little seed of God's kingdom will grow. Little things will definitely happen in this year. Will there be revival? I don't know. Will our churches suddenly be full? Will there be a huge number of conversions? I don't know. Will there be famous people who profess faith? Will the church rise to power and influence and shape the culture and our nation? I don't know. But I do know the little seed will grow. In 2025, the seed will grow. What will happen in 2025? Well, we know. Nations will come and go. Leaders and kings will rise and fall. Looking back over the last year, 2024, that's what happened, wasn't it? Nations came and went. The rule of the dictator Assad in Syria, people thought, was unstoppable. And then, in about 2 weeks, he was toppled from power. Nation completely changed route. Who knows what the future will hold there? But nations come and go. An invincible dictator who had a whole nation under his thumb. Gone. Just like that. Even in our own country, well, in a more peaceful way, through a general election, leaders come and go. And looking back over 2,025 years, the same's been the case. Even great empires have come and gone. The Roman Empire, the British Empire, whatever, they've all come, they've all gone. One verse we were looking at with Tim just before Christmas in Isaiah chapter 9, in that prophecy of the coming king, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, says, "To us a child is born, and to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." What unexpected things might happen in the UK or any of the little countries of the world? Countries will come and go, but there'll be no end to his kingdom. Of the increase of his government, Christ's kingdom, there'll be no end. Little things matter. As a year begins, we're told, aren't we, in the prophecy of Zechariah, not to despise the little things. There is. Remember Jesus. In many ways, he was a little seed. He became nothing, didn't he? As we read over Christmas in Philippians, he became nothing. A nobody, a servant, completely overlooked, completely unimportant. And yet, his kingdom does not end. The same too could be said of his church that he established. It is the little seed. but little things matter. Whatever happens in 2025, whatever changes there might be in our country, the kingdom of Jesus Christ will not fail. It'll grow this year, just like it did last year, just like it's done every year since Christ died on the cross and rose again and ascended into heaven. That seed of the kingdom was planted and it grows. And it will grow every single year until he returns. Little things matter. We've got a few planning meetings in the week ahead to plan for Boys Brigade, to plan as elders and deacons for the next term, the next couple of months and things ahead. And maybe, in all honesty, we don't have any big things planned. Just little things, really. Some little school assemblies. Maybe you'll be called upon to teach a little Sunday school class of just a handful. Or do a little devotional talk for a little group of teenagers at Boys Brigades. There's a little congregation to preach to this evening. You might have a little conversation with a friend. A little evangelistic booklet that you give to a family member. A little New Testament and Psalms that you give out on the street. They're all very little things, aren't they, in the world's eyes? They don't seem the kind of thing that's going to change nations, make magnificent changes. Those things are all really very little, aren't they? A little church, a little Sunday school, a little conversation, just little Christians, us. And we have those verses, don't we, to be faithful in the little things. We'll look at that parable later on, of how Jesus spoke to that parable and there was a servant in it. And at the end, the master says, you've been faithful in little things. Come share in your master's happiness. Oh, as the year begins, seeking to be faithful in those little things that God's given us to do. Are we sowing those life-saving seeds? Do we pray as the year begins, Lord, hear the seed? Tiny little things, aren't they? Will soon be spring. Maybe it doesn't feel like it this evening. But soon the ice will melt and the days will grow longer, and maybe you'll plant some things in pots or in a flower bed at home. Little seed, pop them in and plant them. And as we sow those seeds of the kingdom, do we commit those things to the Lord? Lord, here's a seed I want to plant. Maybe we're already thinking of the year ahead. There's someone I really want to talk to about Jesus. I really want to have that opportunity. Lord, can you prepare a bit of ground for me to plant that seed? Maybe some of those things are planned. Maybe some of them aren't. And it just seems a bit of a spontaneous thing from us. And we hadn't predicted it. But there comes an opportunity just to say a little something. And we commit it to God. A little seed. We might look back and think, oh, I think I rather fluffed that. Right, the words didn't come quite out in the right order as I was trying to talk to that person. But Lord, it was a little seed. Said something about Jesus, how great he is, and what a wonderful Saviour he is. Lord, as a little seed, can you water it? Can you make it grow? Little things matter. And it should give us confidence in the year ahead to keep sowing those little seeds, to look for that growth of God's kingdom that will not fail. This year in 2025, the little mustard seed will grow, the little bush will grow as God blesses it and carries out his purposes to further his kingdom. Let's sing a hymn about that. Well, we've given it the title, Little Things Matter. In 2025, we thought of a little seed, and then secondly, we're going to think of a little sin. a little sin. David's story, we only had time just to read a few verses of it. And this is where it starts, isn't it? You might know where the story goes, that in the end there's murder and lies and a national cover-up. There are devastating consequences for his family, for his nation. Many die. There's an uprising. There's a civil war in the chapters that follow. And where did it all go wrong? Could we work backwards? Just in those five verses we just read, where did things go wrong? Well, if you follow, we'll work backwards. Middle of verse 4, David lay with Bathsheba. An act of adultery. Things are clearly wrong there, aren't they? But what about just before it? We read that he took her and she came to him. Did he order her to come? Did he invite her to come? Well, anyway, she came. You see, it's starting to go wrong there. Or just before that, beginning of verse 4, David sent messengers. David, if we were modern, said messaged her. Messaged her. Shouldn't have done that either, should he? Oh, want to go back to verse 3. David asked about her. He inquired, didn't he? Who was this lady he'd seen? He's beginning to plan and to process things. He knows she's someone's wife at this point. That's clearly going wrong, isn't it? Or we could go back a little bit further to the very end of verse 2. We read that the woman was beautiful to behold. He held her in his gaze, in his sight. That was wrong too, wasn't it? For before that, just a bit before, he saw a woman bathing. And why did that happen? Well, go back, he was walking on the roof. That sounds very weird to us, but he was walking on a flat roof of his palace. Why was he doing that? Was it idleness? Was it resting? Beginning of verse 2, it happened one evening that David arose from his bed. What was David doing in bed in the evening? Bit of a bizarre sentence. You get up in the morning, don't you? Maybe you get up in bed out of the evening. Not even an afternoon siesta. What's he been doing? Is he lazing, jossing around? Gets out of bed, strolls on the roof. Or you can go back one more verse, to verse 1. David remained at Jerusalem. Last words in verse 1. He remains in Jerusalem. Why is that significant? Earlier on in verse 1, he sent the army away. At the time when the kings go to war, he didn't. We thought before of being faithful in the little things. And here with David, it goes wrong with the neglect of things, isn't it? He's not faithful in little things, and the little things get steadily bigger and worse, don't they? He's meant to go off with his army. He sends the army off. He's meant to be the king who leads them in battle. No, he sends his army off to do the work without him. He remains at home for maybe weeks, months on end. He gets up late. He's been lazing in bed maybe all day. He gets up in the evening. He strolls on the roof of his palace, gazing out over his capital city and the rest of it. Maybe there's pride, arrogance in that too. He sees a woman bathing. Well, maybe accidentally. Then he beholds her. And his gaze lingers, doesn't it, on this woman in the bath. Then he asks about her. The mind's beginning to think. We were thinking this morning of wanting to have our minds renewed by Christ. Well, it's the opposite. Is David going with the old ways, isn't it? He's beginning to think, beginning to dream, beginning to lust about this woman. He asks about her. He finds out she's a wife, but you know, that doesn't stop him. He messages her. He invites her in. She comes in. He lies with her. He commits adultery. And on the story goes. Little things matter, don't they? A little neglect. A little laziness. A little stroll. A little glance. A little lingering glance. A little thought. A little desire. A little inquiry. A little message. A little invitation. Everything kicked off from there, didn't it? And as 2025 begins, actually, maybe it's worthwhile thinking back of 2024. Were there little things that you and I turned a blind eye to? David, even when it all kicks off, this situation, he covers it up. What about us? Looking back over the last year, were there those little looks, little thoughts, as we were thinking this morning, of lust or greed or laziness or deceitfulness or bad language or pride? And those things we thought were so little, just a little theft, just a little lie, just a little dishonesty. That's what we say about those things, don't we? Oh, it was just once. And then it was twice. No one knew. No one got hurt. It was no big deal. It really doesn't matter. It's just a little sin. We thought before in that previous bit of the little seed, thinking of good seeds then, the same thing could be flipped, couldn't it, to think of those little seeds of sin, weeds, in some of Jesus' parables. That's what they are there, those little seeds of weed. And those things grow. They do for David, don't they? The little sins, the little bit of laziness, the little bit of pride, the little bit of lustfulness. Oh, this weed grew, didn't it? And we say to ourselves, oh, it doesn't matter. No one got hurt. Those little things, no one knows. But you know, and God knows. Your consciousness, your conscience knows. And those things are known in God's sight, as David in the end finally admits. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. That's what matters, says David, when it finally dawns on him in a chapter's time from here. Little things matter. Maybe as 2025 begins, there's some little things we need to put right. Some little things we need to confess and own up to. As though little things matter. And deep down we know it. And we know that as little as we made out, and also we do know that they could grow. And we don't really want that, do we? And so rather than turning a blind eye to those things, what do we do? What do we do as 2025 begins? Is it just a message this evening to do better? There's ways you've been going wrong last year. Well, 2025, do better. Try harder. Turn over a new leaf. Make yourself a few new rules. Just be better. That isn't the answer. The answer is to come to Jesus, isn't it? To come to Jesus. The answer is not found inside us. The answer is found at the cross. We come to Jesus and we repent. Maybe of those little things that no one else knew about. And maybe they didn't cause a huge problem yet. You know, we want rid of that. We don't want to go down that path again. Now, something we regret in the last year. We don't want a repeat of it. And so we come and confess our sins and we say sorry to Jesus. We own up to those things. We bring those sins to him. The ones at least we remember. Knowing there's far more than that too. And we come to the cross for cleansing. No, it's not about me turning over a new leaf. It's not me papering over the cracks. It's me coming to Jesus to be cleansed, to be forgiven. And we come to Jesus for help and power and the help of his Holy Spirit to overcome, to be renewed in the transforming of our mind, as we were thinking this morning, because that's where it all begins. It began like that for David. We ask for Jesus to help us and that we wouldn't be so susceptible in the year ahead to that bit of greed, that bit of pride, that bit of lustfulness, that bit of lying, whatever it is, we ask for his help. And as we come to Jesus, we realise at the foot of the cross that those sins aren't a little thing at all. When we realise what it cost Jesus to give his life on the cross, those little things we so easily excuse ourselves doing, well, they're not. They're big things. They're wrong things. They're things that grieve God. They're things that needed Jesus to go to the cross. That's how big was the problem. And so those little things matter. And so we begin a year, well, where we should begin and end every day, on our knees, confessing our sin and putting our trust in the Lord Jesus and asking him to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's how we begin the year, isn't it? And we begin the year on our knees, asking for his help, knowing that without it, we're going to fail. We need his help. We need his guidance. We need his strength. We need the help of his Holy Spirit. And we look to him. Well, let's pause and sing again. We've thought this evening of the little seed. Then we thought of little sins. And lastly, little tasks. We know the end of the story.
Hopefully.
You do? Joseph is going to be great, isn't he? He is going to be the prime minister of the greatest civilization of the ancient world, isn't he? He's going to be Pharaoh's right-hand man through that crisis. He's intelligent and wise and an excellent leader. He is going to bring relief and rescue to millions. He's going to advance God's purposes. He's going to be God's saviour. He's going to save God's people from starvation. Big things in Joseph's future. But for the time being, just little things. Those big things lie ahead. For now, he's in prison. Still in prison. Maybe even in one of Pharaoh's dungeons. You know, it's the royal place where the king's prisoners are kept. And they're probably kept in the worst bit, aren't they? And he's there because he did what was right. He was sold by his brothers. Then he became a slave to Potiphar. He does the opposite, sort of relating to David's story. And he's careful and calm, isn't he? Disciplined in his handling, his treatment of Potiphar's wife. Because of that, he ends up in prison. And what's Joseph going to do in prison? He can't do any big things for God, can he? You can't do big things in prison. Only little things. What little things does he do? Joseph's little tasks. Chapter 4, verse 40. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And the same was written before in the previous bit. Verse 22 in the previous chapter, the keeper of the prison committed into Joseph's hand all the prisoners who are in the prison. Joseph serves. He's a servant in a prison. That's hardly a glamorous job. That's hardly any big tasks. What's that going to involve? Dishing out food? Taking the trays of food up to the cells with bars, you know, the little slot in? I've only seen it in the movies and things. Taking cups of water round. Do they pass back out the cell buckets? Rather unglamorous task, that one. He's caring for the prisoners in the prison. He's a prisoner himself, but he's serving them. Emptying the buckets from the cells. Dishing out the food and the water. But he's honest. He's trustworthy. He's reliable. The keeper of the prison never needs to worry about anything. He knows that Joseph has diligently, conscientiously done it. Utterly relies, utterly trusts Joseph there in the prison. What a man. In the little task that God gave him to do. What else do we see about him? Verses 6 and 7. Joseph came to these two prisoners in the morning and looked at them and saw they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, "Why do you look so sad today?" That's a little thing, isn't it? Joseph, as he goes around the prison handing out the breakfast, he sees two prisoners who are looking unusually sad. Imagine they all look a bit sad, but anyway, they're looking particularly sad. And Joseph shows kind concern. And they say, "You guys, what have you got to be sad about? You've only been in here a few days. I've only been here a little while. I've been in here for years. I'm the one who should be sad." No. He shows concern. The butler and the baker of the king, of the Pharaoh, tell him about dreams. And he asks them what's up. Joseph is cheerful and kind in what, in all honesty, was a very brutal, nasty place, probably, wasn't it? The dungeon of Pharaoh's prisoners. Not a place any of us would want to be. But that's where Joseph was, for no fault of his own. He's kind. And he's cheerful. And he's asking after the welfare of others. And he cares for them. These prisoners who are looking very sad. One morning. Little tasks. Little things. That Joseph does. And then they tell him, verse 8, "We've each had a dream, and there's no interpreter of it." And Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" We see there Joseph's faithful witness there in prison, in the idol-worshipping nonsense of Egypt. That's what everyone else, that's what their religion was. There's these two in prison, puzzled about their dreams. And Joseph says, "Interpretations belong to God. The real God. The true God. He'll know. He'll know what those things mean. Maybe you tell them to me. Maybe I can help, because God, there's a real God who reigns. A real God who reveals mysteries." Sounds a little bit like some of the stuff in the Book of Daniel, isn't it? Where you have the same sort of ideas. He's the one who can show the truth. Joseph just naturally starts talking about God in his conversation. He doesn't say, "I'm an expert in these things. I think I can probably help. I've read a book or two on dreams." No. God. God's the one. Let's sit there in the conversation. Just a little thing. A little task, isn't it? He's faithful. He talks about the God who means so much to him, to these people. Didn't know him yet. And he says, as we've ever read in verse 8, "Do not interpretations belong to God?" God's the one. And we see there Joseph's living faith. He's confident that what God reveals in these high specific dreams will come true. Again, Joseph might have replied somewhat differently on this morning. To see these two looking awfully sad, partly sort of wondering, "What have you got to look so sad about?" And they say, "We've had some dreams." And hadn't Joseph had dreams too? Special dreams, revelation dreams from God. Joseph could have gone, "Oh, I had a dream once too. God revealed something to me once too. And has it happened?" No. God promised. I saw this vision of a sheaf of corn and all the other corn bowing down. Did it happen? No. I saw a vision of a star and 11 other stars and the sun and moon all bowing down. Did it happen? No. Dreams? Pah. Whatever God reveals in a dream is rubbish. Bunkum. It's never happened. That's what Joseph could have done. But here we see Joseph's living faith. He'd been given his own dreams. Had it come true yet? No. But he knew it hadn't come true yet. He was still trusting God. Interpretations belong to God. Joseph says, "If this is a God-given vision, a revelation dream that you've had, tell it to me. Maybe God will tell me what it is." Because God can be trusted. God is faithful. God does what he says. And I believe it. even if it hasn't happened yet. For me. Little things, little tasks. There we see Joseph in the prison, being faithful, just one average day. There in the prison, faithful in the little tasks that God had given. What about us? Are we faithful in those little tasks? Joseph wasn't yet the prime minister, the hero, the one keeping accounts of all the grain in Egypt, chancellor of the exchequer, you name it. He was just doing little things that God set before him. Caring for prisoners, looking out with concern and compassion, speaking little bits about God in his normal conversation, living by faith in the God he could trust. Are we doing those things? It probably is not on the cards that any of us are going to rise to become the Prime Minister or the Chancellor of Jacob in the year ahead. Maybe we haven't got any big things, we don't know, that God has planned for us. But little things, little tasks. And maybe too, as we think about the year ahead, we wish each other a happy new year. And we do hope each other have a happy year. But however many sad years did Joseph have? We know he was 17 when he was sold by his brothers. We know he's 30 when he finally stands before Pharaoh and is let out of prison. So for 13 years, he's a slave for a bit of that and in prison for the rest of that. Either way, that's pretty rubbish. 13 years, isn't it? From the age of 17 to 30. Did Joseph have a happy new year? Sad years. Years of trial, years of difficulty, years of being in prison. What about us? I hope the year will be happy, but it might be a year of difficulties. Difficulties at work, difficulties at school, financial difficulties, deteriorating health, all those things that might happen in the year ahead. But to be faithful, even in those situations too. Faithful in the prison, like Joseph was. And think of Joseph for a minute. In the end, after these 13 very difficult years, he's released from prison. He's promoted to serve the king. Maybe that might happen for us in 2025. We don't know. We might be released from this prison. We might be promoted to go and serve the king in heaven. We don't know. Don't know what the future holds at all. But are we going to trust like Joseph did? Have that living faith in God who keeps his promises, even if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death in this year. Then, to go be with the king in glory. That might be what happens in 2025. Are we seeking to be faithful in the little things? Little things matter. A little seed that's going to grow. Those little sins that do matter. Those little tasks that God's given us to do. To be faithful in those things. You've implied a couple of times a little bit of that parable that Jesus told. Matthew 25 is where it is. He tells this parable about these servants and the man goes away. And he calls his servants to these tasks. And then he returns. And the Lord says, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few little things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Come and share in the joy of your master. Are we seeking in the year ahead to be faithful in those little things, those tasks that God's given us? Whether it's a good year, a happy year, or whether it's a difficult year, to be faithful in those things. Looking to God, looking one day, maybe this year, maybe some years in the future, who knows? Either when we'll go to be with Jesus or Jesus will come back here. Is that our desire to hear those words? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with these little things. Come and share in your master's happiness, the happiness of heaven.